How shame, perhaps some of you are tired of my face, but God chose me this weekend to bring the sermon, and I was hoping it was Derkian's turn, but no. But it's a privilege, and as I was worshiping here, it is so awesome to be here. It's really such a warm welcome, and I just felt I love you all so much. You're part of family, and it's just so cool. So thanks, and thanks, Malcolm. My faith is and trust is now in you with all the slides. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you. You're our King, you're our Lord, you're our Father, you're our protection, you're our freedom. Father, as the testimony was, it is beautiful, wonderful, and we just want to know you better and better and walk more in your will. And yeah, I pray, Father, that today's sermon will be a little in that direction. And I pray that everyone's heart will be open in the name of Jesus Christ to receive what God has on his heart for you today. And Father, I ask you that you again will speak through me and that I will use those words that who are here needs, Father, so that I can be a blessing because you gave it to me, Father. I just want to be a vessel. And it's awesome. I trust you, Father, and yeah, we're looking forward. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, perhaps of you feel disappointed that the sermon's name is Fear, but most of you have dealt with it this weekend. But when God shared with me, I need to speak on fear. I spoke on fear two times before, and it was more the fear of God. What does that mean? Because I struggled with that. I didn't understand what that really meant. How do you fear God? So, and then when he said again to me, fear, I said, okay, Lord, did I miss something? And he said, no, it's totally different. And one evening after evangelism, I was tired and I just want to go to bed. Evangelism is not my strong point. No, so I go faithfully with Derkian, but he's much better than me. So I just go and I was just looking forward, hanging on my little grandma couch. I have a couch that can go zoop and just chill. And then I went to bed, and God said, okay, now it's time. I'm going to download you the sermon. And I thought, I'm tired. I know, but you know it's the best time. Because your own thinking is just nowhere, because you're over the day and everything. So then you can hear, actually, God very clear. Because you're so tired. Okay, so here it comes. Fear. I never knew, and I shared this earlier, that fear was perhaps not God's plan for us. And I thought we need to have a little fear. And but it's not the truth. God didn't give us fear. And so I'm just going to suggest a few places where we can have fear. It is perhaps not passing your exam. It can be not that you have a fear not finishing your studies, or fear of getting married, or fear of not getting married, or fear of having kids or not having kids, or fear of how to be a good father or a mother, fear of failure, fear of not making it. This last week, I was really busy with someone in the Netherlands who really has such a fear of not making it. And then I think, you're making it every day, so what is your fear actually? So it's just such a lie that Satan brings to us. You will not make it. But yeah, the day passed and you're still there. So fear of failing, fear of failure, fear of heights, fear of spiders, snakes, needles. Some have now fear of falling from the bicycle, perhaps. No, we canceled that one. Fear of a lack of money. Fear of not making it at the end of the month. And fasting every last week. Fear of pain. Man, I'm not good in fasting. I don't know if you are champions, but when we had to fast on Monday, the previous week, that weekend before, someone came for deliverance again. She just fell back. And there was one thing that was hectic, and God just said to us, this will only go with fasting. I thought, oh, no, man. Okay, I'll fast on Monday. But then she says, I want to have it finished by tomorrow. I said, okay. And then God said, Renee, you must fast with her. I said, oh. So God said, for 24 hours. Man, it was hot. I counted the minutes. And when she arrived, I said, yeah, now we can eat. No, first prayer, she said. I said, oh. Okay, we made it. And fear of peer pressure. I remember when I was a teenager, I always wanted to just fit in the crowd. I didn't want to be highlighted. I know some people want to be highlighted. I hated it. The best was if no one knew my name, especially the English teacher. And then my mom said, just be a little individual. No, I want to be part of the crowd. So it was really, peer pressure was, in that sense, for me, a challenge. Fear of your leaders, fear of a boss, fear of the future, fear of climate change. I don't know if anyone has fear of that. And fear of death or dying, fear of losing a job, cannot or cannot provide, fear of sickness, disease, fear of bacteria. Once I like a clean place, but for 33 years, I always had someone that helped me to clean my house. And then we moved to Utrecht. And I had to do it myself. I don't like cleaning, but I like a clean house. So then someone came one day to me and she asked me, do you have a fear of bacteria? I said, no, I think God has given us enough immunity to challenge the bacteria. Oh, no, because your house is so clean. I said, no, I just like a clean house. It's not about the bacteria. Okay, fear of what the Bible says about the last days, or fear of what God tells you, and that you actually don't want to hear that, because it can be not what you want. And while you're sitting there, just think, what do you fear? I know some of you have been delivered, so there will be nothing, but what do you fear? And then just the thought, what is your greatest fear? We are going to look at a few scriptures, and people in the Bible also had lots of fear. It's not uncommon. And in Genesis 42 verse 4, it says, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Now, it was a drought, a famine, and they had to go and buy food in Egypt, and Jacob, in his mind, already lost Joseph, who actually was quite well off then in Egypt, not before, but then. And Benjamin was the only son he had with Rachel. He had 10 other boys or sons with Leah. Sometimes I feel so sorry for Leah. She just gave birth and birth and was never good enough. But so then poor little Benjamin couldn't go. All the rest can go. Some things can happen to them, but not to Benjamin. So here we see that Jacob, one of our, what do you call it, fathers, he feared that something will happen to his kid. And some of you know the rest of the story. Okay, then Saul. You know, Saul was quite an anointed king of God. He lost it a little at the end. And I always pray that, Lord, please, let me not lose it at the end. Let me just keep on strong till the end. And luckily, what I've learned in life is that it's never boring. There's always a new challenge. There's always something. You never arrive. I was so scared that it will be boring, that when you will arrive. No, we will never arrive. So that is cool. But then Saul said to Samuel the prophet, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay, so it's not only peer pressure that make us want to bow before people. He was already at, he was not young anymore, but he feared the people. He was intimidated by the people. And this weekend we also spoke about Jezebel and Ahab. We can be intimidated by strong people and or strong spirits. And then, yeah, they didn't kill all the everything of the Amalekites, and they took the best home. And then, and this is so typically of us, no? And then we turn it kind of into a nice thing. But it can be a sacrifice to God. We took all the nice sheep and goats and cows so that we can sacrifice this to God. But God never said that. So we must not manipulate and think we're in God's will if we're really not. This is not what God said. Yes, God said go and fight them, but on different terms. And then it's so beautiful that Samuel says obedience is better than a sacrifice. No. Then the last scripture, there's so many scriptures, I just chose a few, is David. There's so many Psalms of David, but either he's cross with anyone and curse them and ask God to kill them or whatever, and then at the end his heart softens again. But he was very scared often. And I'm just going to read it. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish with me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. How many times would we like to just fly? Sometimes I say, God, ach, can't you come now? Then all the struggles is over. but yeah, David also wanted to escape the fears that he had. Sometimes I look at the news. I love news. In that sense, I love to see what's going on. And if I see in those places where war was, and it's terrible. It's terrifying. You don't worry about what you will wear. You just worry, oh, will you be safe? And it changes the way you think, but it's real fear. It's not, oh God, I'm chill in this. Oh, I see the bombs are flying today. No, you're really scared. So what do we do with our fear? Do we ignore it? Do we repent of it? Do we command it to go away? Or do we rationalize it? Everyone has fear and this is understandable and a little fear is quite fine, whatever. This is beautiful. Then this scripture, God gave me this scripture in 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Okay, so are we supposed to have fear if we understand his love? I don't know how this works. And then God said something to me. He said, I love you more than your biggest fear. And I think we do not understand this because we do not understand his love. If you can measure your fear is this, but God's love is this. If you really understand it and you really could grasp it, and what does that mean if he loves us so much? I think then we will not struggle with fear. And I'm talking about myself. So when he shared this, I love you more than your biggest fear. Ach, it was just beautiful. And then I think, like Daniel, he was in the together with the lions. The lion's not the most friendly animal, especially when they're hungry. But he kind of didn't have fear. I think he understood the love, that love protects him. Doesn't matter if the lions eat him up, seemingly. Then it's also okay. You know what's the worst that can happen? You can enter heaven. So yeah, we fear so many things. And then his three friends, they went into that oven. Man, 40 degrees is hot. That was much hotter. They were not fearful. I think I would have run. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how big is your fear? The thing that you fear the most. How big is that? Is it 0? Is it 1? Is it 8? Is it 9? Your biggest fear. His love is bigger. We are blessed with a dryer. We call it a dryer. We have an addition in our bathroom, and it's an A++. So I just want to say, our fear is 1 to 10. Say it's a 3 or whatever. God's love is like 10++. It's bigger, it's higher, it's humongous, and I really hope that we will grasp a little of how much and what that means. How if you love some of us have kids, it's easier when you have kids. You love that kid so much. Now it can do wrong things, but you stay loving it. And I think that's a little how God loves us. You want to protect that kid. If your house is burning, you first want to get your children safe. You're not thinking of yourself. It's really taking care. It's really trying to protect. But God is not trying, He's doing. But I think often we just don't see it. I think because we are so busy with our own thoughts and our own plans, and over the years I found out that they are not very in line with God's plans and how He thinks. John Bevere, when I struggled to understand the fear of God, John Bevere said, you submit to the one you fear the most. And that really stuck in my brain. That is true. Peer pressure, you submit to them because you fear them. You fear you're rejected. You fear you're not part of. You fear you're not being loved. No? But actually, isn't it that we can say also you submit to the one you love or trust the most? If we could trust God so much and love Him so much, then we would submit to Him. No, then we will be safe. Because the songs that we had, thank you so much, where are you? It was beautiful because it was really also again about God and how much He loves us. In the intercession in Utrecht, we pray every Tuesday evening, as you saw on the announcements. You're invited. And once a month, we also pray for London. And the last 3-4 weeks, it was all the way, it was about cleansing the bride. So I'm talking not to the people that's not in church. I'm talking to us. Cleansing the bride. This is part of being cleansed. This is part of growing. And God said, you must stop being children. You're long past the way that you must drink milk. You are supposed to be mature already. But we fall back because I think we don't trust God. We do not understand His love. So this weekend of the deliverance is a good way to climb, to understand more. And the testimony was so beautiful. Thanks. He's gone now. Oh, okay. Yes. Thanks. That he could see it was Jesus Christ on the cross that paid for this, that we can be set free. Isn't that super cool? It is awesome. And it's not because we are cool. No, it's just because we learn to understand who is God. And then we feel more secure. Oh, okay. I got a testimony this morning of someone who has very difficulties with her parents. And they came to visit. And she learned that you could bind demons for a season. So she bind all the demons she could think of. And she just said, they visited me for 2 hours and it was great. For the first time, I think, since she is born. It was always fights. So when we learn who is our super cool God, we don't need to fear parents coming to visit or whatever is your biggest fear. Just a few scriptures. Psalm 23 says, "Do not fear, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will not fear, for you are me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Last time I was here, I spoke a little on the shepherd, I think, and we had that short clip of the shepherd and what is the purpose of the rod and the staff. And God gave me this scripture of the rod and the staff many years back. Not many, many, but it was not recent. And I can really say that that stick that hits on the rock, the sheep doesn't even lift, they don't even lift their heads. They just listen, okay, where is this guy now? Where is my shepherd? So we are supposed to be like that. Just listen, where's God? Where's God? Okay, this side, that side. We don't even need to lift our heads. We can just hear the sound. But I think not many of us can hear that sound so well. No. And then that other thing with the hook. When you fall in a ditch and he gets you out there, and then you want to go back there, and then he gives you a poke on the bum and says, okay, move now. And that is not nice. It can be painful. And I remembered how God had to get me out of that ditch, and I didn't want to. And I know why. Because it was not comfortable there, but it was familiar. I kind of felt safe in the unsafe place because I knew where the enemy was. And that made me not want to move because I feared what will happen then. So I rather stayed in that. And then God was really strict with me because I understood then the fear of God, and I understood I had to say, yes, Lord, even though it freaked me out. And it was difficult to get out of there. But thank God he did that to me, because now I know I can trust him even more. Recently I also preached on hope, faith, and trust. And the more our hope turns into faith, turns into trust, as soon as you trust something, you're secure in it. If we trust God 100% that he will take care of you and look out for you or for me, then fear will go, even in terrible times. Deuteronomy 3 verse 22, "You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you." We must understand this. This was Joshua, and he had to conquer all the giants, all the big cities, and all the nations in Canaan. It was not easy. They were not really a warring nation. They were not skilled in that. And when God even said, okay, then you put the music in front, hello, what is that kind for military maneuvers? It is useless. It doesn't make sense. And I had that so many times in my life. Lord, it really doesn't make sense. Do you know? Then he just says, yes, I know. I want you to do it this way. And then he said, but Lord, I say, yes, I want you to do it this way. And just because I want to fear him more than my fears, then I do it, and you know, it works out quite well. But it is scary. But through that, you learn to trust. If the first time your dad says to you, okay, jump, I'll catch you, jump. No, okay, jump, I will catch you. And then you jump and he catch you. Oh, then the second time when he says that, you say, okay, last time it worked, okay. So you get more confidence. And later on, the more you do this, the more you trust. The less fear you have, the more you can walk in God's will. Because I've walked quite a while now in God's will, I think, or try. It gets easier in that sense. You know it doesn't make sense. You know, in your mind, I think I have a logic brain, but with God it doesn't work. His logic is so much different. And the way I perceive the world, and I perceive people, and I perceive my actions, and what I know of my past, how to do it, and how it works the best, is often not. But it's so cool, because it's different. It's challenging. You really walk on water, and you, will this work? Yes, it does. If God has said it, it will work. Okay, and then our God says he will fight for you. Don't be fearful. He will fight for you. came then the scripture in Exodus which says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. He says, I'm going to cancel out your enemy. They went through the 10 plagues. They knew the power of God through that. Because the plagues, I don't know if the first or second one did also go to the Israelites, but the rest that passed by, they were not influenced by the plagues. It all hit the Egyptians. So they could see, wow, miracle. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they were released and they could go. And then they know, here comes our old oppressors again. And then Moses says, I don't know if Moses knew God is going to do a miracle. I think he just trusted God because he walked the walk with God. And isn't it awesome if we can all have that trust and that faith to know, it's terrible circumstances, but he's there. And actually, what's the worst that can happen? We can go to heaven. I would like, if you can find the video. This was such a beautiful song to me. One of the small groups used this, but he must search for it now. So you must just, yes, you can start. It always gets to me, this. It eats on you. It just strangles you. It actually just kills you. And then we have this awesome God that really loves us bigger, more than this fear, more than our desperation, more than all our trials and our difficulties. And just a few more things. What keeps us in fear? I think one of the things is a lack of knowledge of who God is, a lack of trust in our Savior, a lack of a knowledge of our authority, that we can bind fear, and it's a spirit, no? We can bind fear and let it go. Fear is the opposite of faith and trust, that both is for the future. One is with God, one is without God. We have a choice. Who are we going to take? The fear or the faith and the trust? And call God. He will answer you. He will give you strategy. Let me just see. Yes, we have this scripture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have life in abundance. That is the purpose of fear, is to kill and destroy us, to rip us apart, to not... What he sings is to stop us in our tracks. No, you're full of hope and confident. Okay, this will work. Oh, we're going to do it. And then, no, it's not going to happen. It's fear. It's if you got this from God, that this is where you need to go, cancel the fear. And recite those verses of, you will not see this enemy tomorrow again. Perhaps he will be there. But not the way you saw it. Fear is definitely not from God. Then God showed me a picture of the back of a baboon. I couldn't really get the total back. It's halfway. If you know a baboon, some tourists make the fault of coming close to them and think they are friendly and they are semi-human, whatever. But perhaps they are, I don't know. but then I just saw this back of the baboon and I said, okay, Lord, what is this? He says to me, what does a baboon do? He comes, if you are a tourist close to a baboon, what does the baboon do? He steals your stuff. He even will bite you. He can even kill you. And as I said that, I realized it's what the enemy does with us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. And then God said to me, okay, command the baboon to go. I didn't understand anything, but as you know, I now say, yes, Lord. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you baboon, go. And it left. And then the next thing he said to me, he says, think of a brand. And I asked someone yesterday what brand is very local here. But in any case, like Pringle or Nike or Billabong or whatever. He says, and that is the pure one. That is the, if it has that label on, you know it's the one that was created and made for that brand. Now, so sometimes we cannot afford it, or we don't even know, but we bought a fake. Now, I just want to put in this story. Jan Willem, my oldest, he was 10 or whatever, and the school told him, you must earn pocket money, and or you must have pocket money, and you must divide it in the month to... it was entrepreneuring stuff. They need to manage their pocket money. And so he said, okay, Mom, how much can I get for clothes and for this and for that? And he was very into branding then. And I think it's more a men thing or a boy thing. And so I gave him the budget and I gave him the money at the beginning of the month. And at the end of the month, it was all finished and he couldn't buy the nice brand he could. So he asked me to go to the flea market in Sunnyside to buy a fake Nike because he wants the Nike. It was so funny. But in any case, what God shared with me with the brand now is that you get the fake and that is a compromise. It's not really the true one. No, it's all either less quality or whatever. And the same is with so many people, he said. They do not want to be known or want to be the person I made them. Now they copy things and they copy people, so they compromise the original. And I think we do that because we want to fit in. Because we want to keep up with the Joneses, as you said, it's tough in a city like this. You gather money just to have something and whatever. Is this who you are? Is this your Creator God created you? But we add lots of stuff on that is not from God, and we compromise, and we are not the original anymore. And sometimes we even struggle to find the original. Because we have so many, it's nice to laugh this way, or it's nice to walk this way. I always said I wanted to be taller so they can be elegant. But yeah, that never developed. And because then I will be accepted. Then I will be loved. But it's a compromise of your Creator, what He made you to be. You must be the pure one. And this is part of deliverance as well, that our add-ons, even our fears, that we can just chuck them. They are not part of the original brand you were made. It is not part of you, so don't take it. No. We need to get rid of all... we need to get rid of all the add-ons. The last thing that God shared with me was the baboon, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It was this branding thing. And then he says, if you strip yourself of everything that was not your original, God put in you originals. Now, you have original gifts. You're supposed to operate in them. But sometimes we so much want to have another gift. And we know that if you have the gift of singing or playing piano or whatever. And if you don't have that gift, the one who doesn't have the gift must work very harder, much harder, to attain the same level or to get at the same level because he didn't receive the gift. And that was so cool to me when we looked at those redemptive gifts, the gifts of the Father. We were already at age, I think. And Darjan, every year, he will tell me, Renee, you need to budget. You need to budget. You cannot just spend. You need to know how much is there. And then I said, but yeah, I know, kind of. But my fear of failure was so big I couldn't budget, because if the telephone is say 100 euros or 5 euros or 20 euros or pounds, and now it's 22, I'm wrong. I failed. So I'd rather not budget and go with my estimates in my brain, which was not a pleasure to Darkjan. Because then he would say, okay, Renee, yeah, I've made a spreadsheet. He loves spreadsheets. I made a spreadsheet, and how much did you spend for clothes this month? I have no clue. Bernard needed new pants for school, so I bought the pants. But then I know I cannot buy something, but it's fine next month, perhaps, whatever. No, but you must put it groceries and cleaning stuff. And I said, in the petrol and the tip and the what? Yeah, you can put it under this. It never worked for me. So then we did that test. And it said, Darkjan has the gift to do that. And not me. So I was released. I said, don't put your gifting and make me think I need to try better and better. It's not a gift God has given me. So he gave it to you. So it's your job. So I cannot sing well. I love singing. But there's other people that has the gift. So I love to sing with them. And especially if they sing loud, because then I can't hear myself. And but we must stay in our brand. Who did God make you? And sometimes we don't know who God made us. Who are we supposed to be? What is our gifts? Why are we here? What does he use us for? Okay, so it's time for restoration of my bride, God said. It's time to get rid of the add-ons. It's time to get rid of that's not part of your brand. And then he showed me two little puppets, and the one was the original. Unfortunately, in that picture that comes up, the original is very dark. We were looking for a white color, a brighter color. And then versus the compromise, the add-ons. And we think we are happy with our add-ons because we manage it so cool and it fits so well and da-da-da-da-da. But actually it will never make you happy. It will never make you content. It will never make you grow closer to God. And we really need to be the original that God has made. So will you stand? Father God, we love you so much, Lord. And as in that video, fear really cripples us, and that's only one of the add-ons we have. We have so many. We have so many, and thank you for deliverance. Thank you that we could be set free of some of them, Father. And the more we're set free, the more the original brand comes up. And the more the original brand comes up, you told me, then you will automatically fall in your destiny. Automatically, because you will live what you were made for. And Father, I forgot to share this, but you remind me now, Lord, that it was spoken over me many years back. I'm just quickly going to share this, that I will be a tree or a chicken or a hen with many chickens. And I didn't understand it. And then God said to me the other day, Renee, for the first time in your life, you're in the place where I want you to be. And it was tough. It was not always easy because I didn't understand a lot. And God doesn't ask us to understand, but we so much want to understand. Because when it makes sense, and I don't know why God does it so difficult, but, and he says, then you will fall automatically in your destiny. And as he showed me the picture of the tree again, he says, when the storms come, you're rooted and grounded. Yes, perhaps a branch breaks off or you lose some leaves. And the seasons come and go, but you stay in your identity. You are a tree. You're not suddenly coming wheat, or you're not suddenly a cat, or what. You stay what you are supposed to be. You stay your brand. You stay rooted and grounded in that. It's not always tough, but a tree cannot run, so you stand. And then when he showed me that picture of the hen, I was not so chuffed with it in the beginning, with the little chicks. And then I realized that's true, Lord. The hen doesn't feed the chicks. It shows where the food is to the chicks. And that's such a passion for me, to show people where you can find God, how you can hear His voice, how you can get rid of all the stupid stuff that adds on, all the stuff that was never supposed to be part of us. And there is your God. There is the one we love. There is the one we can trust. There is the one that loves you more than all your add-ons. And you can stand pure and in your original brand, and you can be the blessing, and you fall in your destiny. So, Father, we come before you and we pray. Lord, we pray that we can bring now before you some of that stands out now, some of the things that's not part of our original brand, some of those things that you never wanted us to add onto ourselves, Lord, but it was coping mechanisms, it was mechanisms to feel loved, it was mechanisms to get where we needed to be. And you shared with me that some people even didn't write the right stuff on their CV so that they could come or get the job that they wished they could have. And Lord, we repent. We repent of these add-ons. We repent that we do not celebrate our original brand. We repent that we don't even know who that is. Father, and that you say your bride must be cleansed. We must start growing. We cannot stay immature. We cannot stay with the milk. I pray now, Father, that you will stir us to walk the walk, to come closer to you, to hear who you are, what is on your heart, and who you made us. And thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate so many brands, because not one is a copy of another. Everyone is original, and it's beautifully and wonderfully made, and exactly what you wanted. And I will not look the same as the one next to me. I'm not supposed to look like the one next to me. But the one next to me, I must celebrate. Because he is exactly the brand God has made. And Father, I ask you that you will help us to be kind to one another, to have grace where we need to strip some stuff, to have grace to celebrate the gifts in the other one and say, Achman, you're such a champ in this. I really love you. Lord, as we can be a blessing to one another and we don't need to worry about a destiny, we just fall in that place. So thank you, Lord, while we stand and we bring this before you. All of you, just bring that pops up in your brain before God and give it to God and say, Lord, this is an add-on, this is a copy, this is not part of the original brand, I don't want it. So just give it now to God. Lord, we give it. We repent of this, and we take authority. We've learned that we have authority, Father, and we take authority of this add-on, and we command it to go into the abyss, and it will never return. It will never come back. It will never be part of us again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can be more than of you, closer to the original brand, Father. Thank you that you are so into us, that you love us so much, that you never tired, you never lose hope. You're always confident, yes, you're going to make it, you're going to make it. Yes, let's do it, let's go. Beautiful that you've left this part. Yes, the next thing will go as well. And thank you, Lord, that we will not be fearful. We will trust you because your love is bigger than our biggest fear, Father. And while every believer is praying, I just want to ask if there's anyone today that for the first time realize that perhaps you've never given your whole heart to God, never given your whole destiny to Jesus. You always wanted to come with some compromises because this is how the world works. You need to show who you are and who cool you are. But God wants your original. that you want to commit publicly today that you need Jesus to have this relationship with God so that he can help you to be stripped of the add-ons. I would love you to put up your hand. If your heart is burning, if your feet is glued onto the floor and you cannot move and you feel really this is a word for you, would you be so kind to just put up your hand? So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you what you've done today. Thank you that we are a step closer to the original. Father, and we're looking forward to these many originals. And we're looking forward to be a blessing to one another. And we're looking forward to walk in our destinies, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ.